Well, friends, let's grab our Bibles now and turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, we will look in our time together this evening at verses 1 to 10 of Genesis chapter 39, and we will be looking at the life of Joseph. And the title of this evening's sermon is, The Lord Who Is With Us. The Lord Who Is With Us. I'm going to try and move this so it's a little easy to see. The Lord Who Is With Us. Genesis 39, verse 1. Friends, let's read God's Word together. The Word of God says, Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. For Joseph's sake, the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Dear ones, this is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for your Word, the greatest treasure this world affords. Father, for this Bible reveals your glory in Christ. Lord Jesus, you are our treasure and our reward. We pray that you would help us to see your glory here in the life of Joseph. Oh, Spirit, we pray that you would animate our minds and fuel our hearts by these truths to persevere in hope, knowing, Lord, you are with us in every circumstance. Father, guard your servant from error. Please bless your people now. For Christ's sake, we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, we are looking at the life of Joseph. Chapter 39 is a return to the main character of this portion of Genesis, and the main character being Joseph. We had a little bit of a sidebar episode where we looked at Judah, and we saw Judah's great sin, but we saw the great grace of God, and we saw how human sin does not derail the sovereign purposes of God, but that God, in his great mercy, uses the weaknesses, even the sins and guilt of his people. He uses all of this ultimately for his glory. And we saw that Judah had a son, two sons by Tamar, one Perez and one Zerah. And we saw how Perez, that son of Judah by his daughter-in-law Tamar, would be the one through whom the Messiah would come. The Christ would be born of Judah through the line of Perez. So we're tracing the sovereign hand of God through these seemingly crazy circumstances. And another crazy circumstance is that Joseph is enslaved in Egypt. Verse 1, Now Joseph has been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. I want us to see here the providence of God. What we'll see in the life of Joseph is that the Lord is with him. Whatever circumstance he finds himself in, God is faithful to Joseph to do what he has promised, to exalt him for the sake of his people, and to use Joseph as the means by which great blessing would come not only to the people of God, but also to the Gentiles as well. So here we are. Joseph has been sold into slavery. So we're turning the timetable back. Joseph is 17 years old. He's been sold into slavery by his brothers. The Ishmaelites have taken him captive. These Midianites have drug him all the way down to Egypt. And they have taken him, presumably, to one of the royal cities of Egypt. Now, at this time in history, Egypt is the mightiest empire in the known world. This is one of the high periods of Egyptian civilization. This is what historians call the Middle Kingdom. The Middle Kingdom. And the time frame we're looking at is something like 900 BC to about 1700 BC. So this is 2,000 years almost before the birth of Christ. But this is a watershed moment in history of Egypt. Egypt is a great empire. And Joseph has been brought to one of the royal cities, presumably one on what's known as the Lower Nile. So here he is, and as he comes down there, we see the hand of the Lord. Because who is the one who purchases Joseph from the slave block? He could have been purchased by anyone. But no. According to the providence of God, according to the mercy of God, according to the sovereign wisdom of God, the man who purchased Joseph, who bought him at auction, was none other than Potiphar. And Potiphar is no ordinary man. What did the scriptures say? Potiphar is an officer of Pharaoh. So he's not just a random soldier. He is a soldier with authority. He is an officer, one who is in charge of others in the army of Pharaoh. But more than that, he is a most trusted and exalted officer in the army of Egypt. For he is the captain of the guard. The captain of the guard, which means that presumably he is the prefect in charge of the whole city watch for this Egyptian capital. So his status is that of a marshal of sorts. He is the man who's the chief of police in this capital of the Egyptians. And presumably it could be Memphis. There's a couple of capitals in the days of this Middle Kingdom. But again, we're going with a capital that's in the lower Egypt. And we see that this man, Potiphar, is no ordinary man. He has great authority. He has great responsibility, great proximity to the Pharaoh. And he's a man of some wealth, for he's bought by the Ishmaelites, and he is brought into, Joseph is brought into Potiphar's house. Friends, did you know that none of your employment is by accident? Even that little job you had in high school, or that job you had part-time while you were married, or that one job you had all that time ago, or the career that probably you spent 30, 40 years of your life in. Friends, that was not by accident. God sovereignly from all eternity ordained that this would be in your life, that God would give to you this employment. He would give to you this particular boss and co-workers and customers. All of this is ordained by a sovereign, good, and holy God. Things are not left up to chance in this universe. God doesn't roll dice and let the odds fall where they may. But every aspect of your life, dear friends, has been purposed, ordained, established by a wise, holy, good, and loving Father. Every one of your steps. And all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, has meaning and purpose because the same sovereign God has established and redeemed you in Christ. He has brought you to himself through faith. You are his. And all of this God is using for his glory and your good. So, friends, I pray that that will be a solace for you when you find yourself particularly in a difficult employment situation. A difficult boss, a hard co-worker, a circumstance that you don't envy or enjoy. Remember, your Father in heaven is good and wise. And he says that there's meaning in this. Friends, part of that employment is for our sanctification, our growth in godliness. And what we'll see is that this tutelage, this time with Potiphar, is shaping Joseph to be the man that God has called him to be. To be the prime minister of Egypt, because here he's going to gain some valuable training and administration skills. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. So as Joseph is brought in, Moses notes for us that the Lord is with him. This is the source of Joseph's success. Yes, Joseph is brilliant. Yes, Joseph is wise. Yes, Joseph is an able administrator. But friends, all of that is for naught if the Lord does not bless. If the Lord does not watch over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders build in vain. Friends, man may have all of the skill sets that, vertically speaking, might make him the greatest success in the world, but apart from the mercy and favor of God, he can do nothing. Joseph is being prepared by his God. Joseph is being equipped by his God. And Joseph, the Lord is saying, I have my hand upon you. The Lord is with him. Friends, what that means is that the Lord is working in and through Joseph for his glory, even as he is a slave in a foreign land, kidnapped from his homeland, sold into bondage to a man he knows nothing about. The Lord is with him, and the Lord will use him. So friends, I want you to think about that also in your employment. I want you to think of that in the work that you have. And you may say, well, I don't work at a job. I'm a student, or maybe I'm at home. But friends, remember, you and I are all under the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our master. And friends, the scripture says, whatever our hands find to do, do heartily as to the Lord. So friends, whether we're washing dishes, mowing the yard, changing the poopy diaper, whatever work God gives to us today, let's do it for his glory. Let's see that God has set it before us. And let's pray that the Lord put his favor upon it. Because unless he blesses that endeavor, it will come to nothing. So friends, the Christian labors faithfully, but he also labors dependently. So humbly, Lord, I can do nothing. I may have the skill to build a house, but Lord, unless you bless this endeavor, unless you give me the strength, unless you are with me, I can do nothing. That's the posture of the Christian. We don't depend on the strength of our hands, the size of our bank accounts, the strength of our own bones or our own knowledge, but we depend on the Lord who blesses. So friends, is that your hope? In every endeavor, are you saying, Lord, it's all from you. It is only from you. That's what Joseph's doing. He's depending on the Lord. And the Lord blesses. Verse 3, his master saw, though the Lord was with him. In time, the hand of the Lord is demonstrated in Joseph's life. Why? Because the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Whatever Joseph did, whatever task was before him, by the grace of God, he did it well. Better than all the other servants in the house of Potiphar. The Lord blessed his endeavors, and over time he became noticed by Potiphar. Hey, whatever Joseph is doing succeeds. And he may not be able to connect all the dots, but soon he realizes that the God that Joseph worships, the Lord whom Joseph serves, this is the one for whom he's serving. Because remember, Moses is saying that the master saw that it was the Lord who was with him. That is, Potiphar understood that there was something supernatural here. It wasn't just the strength of Joseph's mind. It wasn't just Joseph's skill. Potiphar knew that the credit belonged to the God of Joseph, to the Lord. So friends, as we labor by the grace of God, as we are diligent in the work that's before us, and God in his mercy blesses, friends, we, therefore, are a walking apologetic to the grace and mercy of our God. Because it is with thanksgiving that we labor for him. And those whom we work for and with begin to see we serve a holy God, a gracious God, a faithful God, the Lord our God. It is out of gratitude and love for him that we do these things well to his glory. And the result of that is Joseph's success. He found favor in the sight, and he's brought into the inner circle of Potiphar. He attends him. He becomes his valet. This is a trusted servant. You just don't ask every servant in the house to be your trusted aid. But Joseph, as the Lord blesses, as the Lord leads him, as the Lord is using him, Joseph is exalted in the house of Potiphar. And even more than simply being the valet and the right-hand man, verse 4, he found so much success that Potiphar made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Eventually, Potiphar just says, here's the keys, man. The Lord is with you. You are faithful in everything that I have entrusted to you. I can't think of another servant in this house to entrust all this authority to. Friends, that is the reputation that Christ calls us to. That's the reputation that Christ himself has. A man without reproach. One who is faithful and true and good. And friends, it is by the mercy of God, by the Spirit of God, that he is equipping and training us so that we can be such servants. We can be those who are found faithful. And friends, when we look at our own performance, friends, don't we see how woefully we fall short of that? Don't we see how often in the work that's before us each day, we do it with grumbling? We do it half-heartedly. We do it sometimes resentfully. But friends, when we realize once again that my God has redeemed me for his glory, he has saved me by his great mercy, in his great love for me in Christ, he is now sending me out into the world. Friends, it is out of that new posture of gratitude that we see this service as an opportunity to please him. And when we're serving Christ, friends, we're serving him with all that we have. So it's like this. If I see my teacher, students, and my teacher gives to me an assignment, and I say, okay, this is an essay I have to write. I understand that that essay didn't just come from my teacher. It came from the Lord my God, who put this teacher in authority over me, who put her in my life, who blessed me with her teaching and with her instruction. And so when I receive that assignment, I receive it as an assignment from the Lord Christ. And so I say, Father, help me to do this for your glory. Because ultimately, friend, I'm doing well because I want to please my teacher. But more than that, I want to please my God. I want to honor Christ. Friends, this changes the way we look at everything in our lives. We are serving not merely men. We are serving Christ. Joseph understands that. He is serving the Lord his God, and as a slave, in exile, in a foreign land, no friends, no family, all alone. And yet by the grace of God, he trusts the Lord to be with him in that servitude. And the Lord blesses him. So he's head of the house. He's the chief steward. And verse 5, from that time that he, Potiphar, made him overseer in his house over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, in the house, in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. The Lord is with Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord falls not just on Joseph, but on Potiphar's house for the sake of Joseph. What that means, friends, is Joseph is that channel of blessing through which blessing is flowing to others. Friends, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that blessing comes to sinners as we are. That the Father in giving Christ blesses. And friends, we see that even Abraham was called and he was blessed to be a blessing. In you, Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the nations be blessed. In the promised Son, blessing comes. The Lord has mercy not just on Joseph, but for Joseph's sake, he even blesses the pagan, wicked, unbelieving Potiphar. Friends, the Lord is faithful, and we can trust him no matter what we find ourselves in, whatever circumstance we're in. The Lord was with Joseph in his slavery. And it's so good, Potiphar only is thinking about what he wants to eat tonight. All he even concerns himself with is his menu. He doesn't worry about what the kitchen's doing. He doesn't worry about his fields or his sheep or his goats. He's just thinking, you know, I'd like to have a little stew for dinner, or, you know, a little bit of roast lamb sounds good for lunch. Wow. This is how faithful Joseph is. This is the extent of the blessing of the Lord. That God is using Joseph for his glory. He is bearing him up, blessing him with wisdom and skill and understanding, such that Potiphar, his boss, says, "It's all you, and I trust you completely." Joseph is eminently trustworthy in all that he does. Friends, again, we look through Joseph and we see a type of Christ. We see a picture of Christ, both in his humiliation and in his honor, both in his being brought low and being exalted. We see that Joseph is following his Lord in that pattern. And so he's exalted in Potiphar's house. So friends, again, I want that to be an encouragement to us. The Lord takes note of the work that we do for his name's sake. Friends, the Lord is faithful to us. Even if our boss, our parents, our teachers don't see what we do, even if we go underappreciated and we chafe under that. Friends, the scriptures remind us that God sees and God is faithful to repay. Always remember, the Lord in heaven sees and knows. He knows when, by his grace, we love and serve and pour ourselves out for others. God is saying he sees, and God is saying he will bless. Ultimately, he will glorify his name in and through us. Now, Joseph, verse 6, is a handsome man. He's handsome in form and appearance. This is reminiscent of who? Rachel, who was very attractive. And we see that Joseph himself is a very attractive man. He's handsome. He's fairly young at this time. I mean, he was 17 when he came into the service. He was 28 when the cupbearer comes. So there's about 11 years here, and a good chunk of that 11 years, he is in Potiphar's house. So over these years, you know, he is serving, he is going, and his appearance captures the attention of the master's wife. Verse 7, "And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph." Again, that the idea there is almost of setting a trap or throwing a rod out, a fishing line, casting. She's setting her gaze. She's targeting him. After a while, as the servants have worked in the house, she begins to notice Joseph for his appearance, notice him for his attractive physique, and she gives a command. Notice verse 7. The command is, "Lie with me." Now, friends, this is seduction, and she is trying to seduce him. And that is a great evil in and of itself. But friends, I want you to realize that the stakes are even higher for Joseph. This isn't just the lady walking down the street trying to proposition him and convince him to be with her. No, this is his master's wife. She has authority over him. So friends, I mean, sometimes those in authority over us can put us in very compromising situations. And Joseph is in one such compromising situation. Does he resist or acquiesce to the request? In one sense, humanly speaking, friends, it might seem very easy to acquiesce. After all, she's in authority over him. She's the one who started it. Joseph could come up with any number of excuses, couldn't he? Any number of explanations why this affair with Potiphar's wife would be all well and good. Friends, that's how sin works. We can rationalize, we can excuse, we can explain away even the most vile of sins. So she propositions him, "Lie with me." This is not a suggestion, this is a command. It's coming from her own wicked heart. But verse 8, "By the grace of God, Joseph resists," but he refused. He said no. Again, friends, it's not because Joseph was some superman. It's because of the mercy of God. It's because the Spirit of God was faithful and bore him up, and he was depending upon his God in that moment of temptation. The scriptures say that when we are tempted, That our God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but when we are tempted, He will provide a way out, a way of escape that we might find escape from under Him. The Lord is faithful to Joseph. In this greatest of temptation and trial, the Lord is able to preserve and strengthen him. He refuses. And then he gives an explanation. He explains to Potiphar's wife that this is a great sin. He remarks in verse 8 that the master Potiphar has no concern about anything and that Joseph is in charge of everything. In fact, Joseph says, I'm as great in the house as Potiphar is. I have as much authority as he does. The only thing that Potiphar has kept back from me, Joseph says, is you, because you're his wife. And that's okay with me, Joseph says. But notice what he closes with. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, friends, very quickly, notice that Joseph pins adultery as a great wickedness. Friends, we must understand the severity of sexual immorality as the Bible describes it. That, friends, God gave these gifts of intimacy to be enjoyed within the covenant of marriage. And anything outside of that covenant of marriage between one man and one woman is wickedness in God's sight. And it brings His judgment. It brings His condemnation. It brings His wrath. And so, friends, again, just like we can excuse our sin, we can often sort of soften our language when it comes to things like this. Friends, we talk about adultery as having an affair or, you know, some extramarital exercise. But friends, again, the scriptures tell us that what it looks like before a holy God is it's great wickedness. And so, friends, as Christians, we need our consciences held captive by the Word of God. We need God's Word to come and help us to rightly see sin for what it is and to see God's glory for what it is. Because the reason that there's such a strong prohibition against immorality, friends, is because this is God's good gift, marriage and all of its gifts. This is for the good of man that they should be used in this way. God's not being something like a hoarding dragon who's keeping all the treasure and good stuff to himself. But he's saying, because I love you, my dear creatures, this is how these gifts ought to operate within the covenant of marriage. So Joseph calls sin for what it is. But then he notices, he says, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notably, it's not just a wickedness against Potiphar. Joseph understands that this is a sin against God. Friends, all sin ultimately has two directions. Sin against man and sin against God. So when these sins against our neighbor are committed, they're not just an offense against those around us, but they're also a transgression against a holy, sovereign God. So friends, sometimes we need to hear that. We need to know that. So Joseph understands the gravity of sin. He's been held captive by grace. He is trusting in the Lord his God. But this is not an easy trial. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her. So he keeps rejecting her. She gives various commands to lie beside him or to be with him. And he says, no, I won't do any of those things. So he's resisting, friends, by the grace of God. But friends, we'll see that there is more in store for Joseph and that this wife of Potiphar is very cunning. So friends, in closing, whatever circumstance you find yourself in tonight, remember the Lord is with you. If you are trusting in Christ, He is faithful to you. He is working in and through your circumstances, whether it be a job, whether it be family circumstances, whatever it may be, the Lord is faithful to be with us. So let us trust Him, let us hope in Him, and let us rest in His vindication. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for Christ. Thank You for Joseph and his portrayal for us, Lord, of what it means to hope in You and to walk by faith. Father, we pray, help us to trust You in all things. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Pardon our iniquities. Cleanse our minds. Renew our hearts. Restore our right spirit within us, we pray. Father, have mercy, for we are a weak people, but You are a good, strong, and gracious God. So, Father, we love You, and we ask all this in Jesus' name.